This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, September 13, 2023, The Memorial of St. John Chrysostom, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. And 13 through 20. Verses 11 and 12. In this, it said, "And when he was alone, those who were about him with the 12 asked him concerning the parables, and he said to them, 'Do you not understand the parable?'" That's not how he answers the question. That is not how he answers. He said to them, "To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and that hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." This too is the gospel of the Lord that was left out. This is the answer to his question. It prefaces what he is about to say with the fact of the parables that chiding his disciples for not understanding them. Why are these two verses left out? Everything that's ever left out is always referred to as a difficult passage. It's not difficult. It is not difficult in any way or shape or form. It's difficult when it doesn't conform to the modern presentation of things. These are our Lord's words. This is how he answers the question. This is the foundation that he lays. And it's not difficult to understand if you pay attention to it, but if you never hear about it, it never even comes up. Until, of course, maybe someday you're hearing something and you just can't come to grips with the fact, why would Jesus ever not tell someone the truth? Jesus Christ is not withholding the truth from them. It doesn't even allude to that. He is not withholding the truth from them, nor does he will that some should not have their sins forgiven. That is not the question here. And again, that's why people don't like to hear things like that, because it would lend itself to think that. No, it doesn't. If you know the rest of the scripture, you know what our Lord's saying here. Again, he's not withholding the truth. He doesn't want people to not have their sins forgiven. But he who is the searcher of hearts, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knows our frame, who is the second person of the Trinity, he is also aware of the proper timing for people to hear his word. I always say, we need to step back and just let God be God every now and then, being that he's God and all whatnot, okay? And he knows best. He knows what, he knows his timing. He knows what his plan is going to be. We don't. And to read passages like this, oh my gosh, he's keeping people from knowing that. There's a lot of places in the scripture that we hear that and see that. A whole lot of places. Our Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. What does he say? Do not go into the villages of the Samaritans. Do not go there, because I have been sent to save the people, the lost sheep of Israel. What happened? After the resurrection, guess what? He goes out of his way to call Saul of Tarsus to go do what? Go to the Gentiles. In his timing, while he was here, it was his mission to try to restore the Jewish nation to where it should be and present them the Messiah that the prophets had always spoken of coming. And they rejected him. They rejected him, so in his timing, okay, I'm going to send Saul of Tarsus to the Gentiles. And in his timing, there is going to be a restoration of a lot of the Jews in this world. He who is the searcher of hearts know this, and he knows what needs to be done and what timing is going to fulfill God's plan. Even after the resurrection, we see this. He's in St. Paul. He's heading to Asia. I got to go to Asia, man. Asia hasn't heard the gospel. It's just been here. I got to go to Asia. The Holy Spirit forbids them from going to Asia. Forbids him from going to Asia. Oh, Jesus must be Asiophobic. No, he's not. It is in his timing, because now where are some of the most faithful churches in the world? In Asia. It was in short order after that that God started sending people to Asia, but it was not supposed to be Paul, and it was not supposed to be at that time. He knows what he's doing. Just need to let him be God. We in our humanity are always trying to help God out. Abraham, always loved that one. Abraham, you're going to have a child with your wife, Sarah. Oh, she's old and I'm old. Oh, you must mean with her handmaid. Thank you very much, Abraham. Can I be God for a while? Let your wife have your baby, you know. We're always trying to help him out. And he doesn't need that. And here is a scripture passage that lets us, that in his timing, he will give us the word in the capacity that we can receive it. You ever approach it in our pride, in our human pride. He should be able to tell us all the truth and we'll get it. Did the Pharisees of his day get it? They knew the scriptures inside and out. Did they know? No, they rejected the Messiah that they have been teaching and preaching about for years and years and years, that they had heard of coming from for centuries, and they didn't see him. So obviously, just because somebody's got some info doesn't mean that they'll necessarily do the right thing with it. This is what our Lord is trying to get across to his apostles. Origen, a very early church father, Origen speaks about there are categories of people, and Jesus takes into consideration these different categories of people. Those who are unready to hear. There are some people who are unready to hear. Everybody should be ready to hear. Well, that's ridiculous because I see them every day. I'm exposed to them every day. They're unready. I'm exposed to some of them in my own family. They would sit in here and it would be like talking to a German shepherd because they don't get it. They're not ready to hear. They're not ready to eat meat yet. That whole scriptural thing, you should be ready for meat, but I got to feed you milk because that's all you can handle right now. St. Paul, New Testament, there are people who aren't ready to hear. Deferring to a later time to present the word to them. That's God's business. Why did he keep Paul from going to Asia when Paul wanted to go to Asia? Why did he not want them to go to the Samaritans at the same time he was there? Ask him when you get there. Okay, that's one of those questions. Ask him when you get there. I don't know, because newsflash, been a priest for a little while. I've learned anything. There is a God, and I'm not him. I'm not going to answer all the questions. God in his mercy and his providence, and this is one of the things, we need to set our pride aside and humble ourselves. Be humble and just let God be God. Oh, he should have done this. He should have done that. He's not loving and merciful if he didn't do that. That's not the case. And then there's a third set that Origen talks about. Those are not ready to receive the word in such direct terms. Again, they're everywhere. Okay? They are everywhere. Yesterday, I was watching something and I was looking at something on this guy. He's usually political. Usually he just talks politics. Secular politics, and he's made it. But the title of the thing was, and for you Catholic people, I was like, where's he going with this? So, of course, I gotta put it. And it was the typical Protestant, you Catholics gotta understand, there's many flavors of Christianity. It's just me and Jesus, me and my Bible, and that's good enough. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, all righty then, come box. Boom. Delete. Because you're all in the commentaries, it's all the same. Yeah, amen, brother, you're right. It's just me and Jesus. It's all you need. It's just Jesus. Yeah, unfortunately, that's not what Jesus says. That's why he established a church and all that. You know, I mean, it's not because, hey, you know, there might be some people who want to go to church. I'll establish one for them. No. No. The church is an absolute necessity. But I was getting ready to, like, there's just too much. There's too much, and they're just going to shut down. Oh, you're a Catholic. That's why you believe that. You worship Mary and confess your sin to a man. You know, it's just not time for them. I didn't say a word. It's just not time. Okay, so just let it go. Defer in God's timing. He'll let you know that. There are a lot of times when when I hear this, a lot of people, they think it's a bad thing that, yeah, I don't think I said enough or I didn't say anything to this person. If you were supposed to say something, the Holy Spirit would have moved you to say something. Okay. It would have been, conversation would have just went one way or another. It just, again, the whole let God be God thing. That's what we need. Origen kind of winds it up in this quote. If the forgiveness of their sins were too easily obtained, they would soon fall again into the same disorder of sin, which they imagined could be cured without any difficulty. There are some people, if you make the faith sound too easy for them, then you start getting me and Jesus, me and my Bible and my subjective interpretation of what it is and this kind of stuff. Origen knew what he was talking about. Origen knew, because it's obvious. This is why you get the Protestant mantras of once saved, always saved, faith alone, the Bible alone, people, faith alone. The only time faith and alone is using the same sentence in the Bible as the book of James when it says faith is not alone. Why do they say that when the Bible says that? Because they just want to hear what they want to hear. This is why our Lord speaks in parables. Parables. There are a lot of them in the Bible. Jesus spoke to them in this parable and that parable. What is a parable? I think Saint Cyril of Alexandria has a most excellent definition, because it's so simple, of a parable. Parables are word pictures making spiritual things real. And what is a parable? The sower and the seeds and the sower, right? The seeds and the sower. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who's the second person of the Trinity, could he not throw some stuff about Scripture on you that would be like drinking out of a fire hose? Our Lord Jesus Christ says to his apostles, I have many things to share with you. And these are his apostles. I have many things to share with you, but I cannot now because you cannot take them. Jesus understands. So what does he do? There's a lot of things I could explain to you. Doesn't he look at Nicodemus, who comes to him at night? Are you not a teacher in Israel? You're a teacher in Israel. You don't get these things. If I speak to you in earthly things and you don't understand them, how can I speak to you in heavenly things? This is the point. This is why he has to use parables. He needs to make these very deep, profound, spiritual, this bifurcation of the creator and we as the creatures, infinite, finite. These things, there's a huge chasm between us. And he breaches it. He breaches this chasm by sending our Lord Jesus Christ to us to share in baby talk the things that we need to understand about our salvation. And if he's going to do that, he's got to use it in things we understand. Like these people really understood this whole sower and the seeds thing. Oh yeah, I get how seeds, sometimes they grow and sometimes they don't. Jesus equates it to the word. He makes something that is very profoundly spiritual something real. People don't understand. We cannot understand God. That's why we had to have the incarnation. We can't understand God in his transcendence. He had to come down here and talk to us, like I said, in baby talk, being like us. This is today, the memorial of St. John Chrysostom. St. John Chrysostom, you know what Chrysostom means? Golden mouth. Okay, that's what that name means. It's Greek for golden mouth. Because the eloquence that he had in his preaching and in his writing, it communicated all these truths. There are people that cannot tolerate St. John Chrysostom. They cannot stand John Chrysostom. Saint or no saint. Why? Because St. John Chrysostom was, although he was as eloquent as all get out, he was the consummate rhetorician, but St. John was direct. And he spoke of things like Jews and how Christians should not be going to the synagogue. They should not be participating in old Jewish rites like the Seder meals and all this kind of, which still happens in our day and age. We have our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the manifestation with all the Seder meals pointed forward to. And now that we have him, why people that are Christian will go to a Seder meal? Well, we just want to see what it was like back in the day. I bet you if they were going to kill a goat out in the parking lot, you wouldn't want to go see that. But they did that back in the day too. Come on, St. John, don't do the Jewish things, guys. The Messiah came and told us not to do that stuff anymore. Those are all shadows and types, and he is the fulfillment of that. Focus your eyes on him and what he has told us. St. John Chrysostom wrote a homily and preached a homily on unnatural relationships. Same-sex stuff? Oh, my gosh. Oh, you wouldn't believe all this stuff. You're St. John, the homophobic and everything like that. Nah, because the Bible is. Sorry. People don't like to hear that direct kind of talk. He talked about political leaders of his day. He got exiled a bunch of times by the political leaders of his day because they didn't like his direct speech of the gospel because they weren't ready for it. He actually used scripture, the queen Eudoxia. Eudoxia, she's all mad because he's telling, hey, you guys are pagans. You're acting like pagans. You need to stop being pagans. You need to come to Christ. You need to stop thinking about your own riches and things like that. She didn't like it. She called him. And she got done railing on him. And he looked at her and said, oh, look, Herodias dances again. She wants the head of John the Baptist on a charger again. They're pointing a finger at her. That caused him another exile. He was direct. And this is the golden mouth. People don't like direct. It doesn't resonate well. You got to watch your timing with people. This is what we have to appreciate. And this is what our Lord wants us to appreciate. People do not like or respond well to direct talk, particularly when it comes to matters of faith. You really got to watch what you're doing. So what do? You simplify things. You don't give them half-truths. You give them the truth in what the way they can understand. And these categories, right? You know, I just read those categories. St. John Chrysostom wouldn't be allowed near a seminary in our day and age. And he's a bishop and a saint of Holy Church. One of the biggies. One of the huge. How often do I sit up here in a homily that St. John Chrysostom says? St. John Chrysostom says, everywhere in the church where the faith is preached, you hear that. And this is the same John Chrysostom that badmouthed these things that should be badmouthed. This is the direct presentation of the gospel. But again, it's proof positive also, a lot of people don't like it. We need to listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ says, and we need to present things the way he did. We need to simplify them, but they've got to be true. Like when he was talking about the sower and the seeds, he pointed out, yeah, that's the word, and if it's thorns, you get choked out by the cares of the world. If it's not deep, it's going to get burned up by the thing of it. You know, he let them know. He gave the parable, but then also explained it to them. Do that. Give it to them simply, and then when they have questions, you answer them. This is what we do. It's what we're supposed to do, every one of us. Not just saints like John Chrysostom, but all of those who are aspiring to be saints. We need to pray for that. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit's discernment. And we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will begin raising up again men like St. John Chrysostom to present the gospel directly to people. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.